Last time we looked at an overview of devouring curses, tonight's going to be part two. We started with a look at Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. I'm going to read it in the Message version. Let's go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other. We're trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help, don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. These are a summary of Father's gifts, the motive gifts, the redemptive gifts that every created being has, at least one of, saved or unsaved. Father's DNA is in each of us. Last time we looked at a summary based on the teaching of Arthur Burke, and we covered an overview of the first three devouring curses that the enemy uses to steal, kill, and destroy redempting giftings of individuals and cities. Rochester has a redemptive gift. Syracuse has a redemptive gift. New York City has a redemptive gift. They probably have multiple redemptive gifts. Last time we looked at the Aramean curse that we found in Judges chapter 3. We looked at the Moabite curse that we found in Judges 3, 12 through 30. And we looked at the Philistine curse from Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Tonight I want to look at the last four devouring curses. The first is the Canaanite curse. I won't read all of the scriptures, but they're listed there on the handout. You'll see the Canaanite curse in Judges chapter 4, verses 1 through 24. The redemptive gift that the Canaanite curse comes against is the gift of exhortation. And every one of these curses has a legitimacy lie that whispers to you or to the city that has the gift of exhortation. I am legitimate when people want and need to be around me. So in other words, this curse makes you think that you're it. Well, tonight in worship we found out that Jesus is the center of it all. It's all about him. But this curse tells people that they can only be legitimate when people want them or need them or want to be around them. Some of the personal manifestations of this curse are you go from one abusive relationship to another. When you see people that go from abusive relationship to abusive relationship to abusive relationship, they may be under the Canaanite curse. They're regularly exploited by every kind of leader. Number two, if the Canaanite curse is working in you individually, you do not have the opportunity to develop the God-given abilities that he's placed within you. Rather than being life-given, the institution that you are a part of routinely exploits you for the betterment of the institution. If I'm working as a career and I'm working for me, I'm probably going to feel that way in my business. But if I'm doing everything as under the Lord, then this Canaanite curse can't attack me in this manner. Number three, you are so busy putting out others and putting out fires, including serving others. If you're so busy always putting out a fire or serving others that you cannot develop the call of God on your own life, you may be under the Canaanite curse. Well, I'm too busy to read my Bible. Well, I'm too busy to do the thing that the prophet said I would do. I'm too busy to go and walk with the leaders that the Lord's put me over so I can glean from them the things I'm supposed to be doing. Well, I've got to go serve here. I've got to go serve there. I've got to. If you're so busy putting out fires that you can't develop the call of God in your own life, then you may be under the Canaanite curse. Number four, your abilities are downplayed. You are always learning but never quite qualified to break through. You are in training for someday. Someday you'll be first chair in the band. Someday you will be the leader in the parade. Someday you will be the boss. You're always learning, but your abilities are downplayed. That's why it's so important that we impart to the next generation and see them running now with the things of the gospel of the kingdom. Some community manifestations of the curse. What would it look like if the Canaanite curse was operating in your community? People have to walk through proper procedures to get anything done. It tries to steal creativity. There are massive policy books. Here's the way to do it. Go to page 14,321. Oops, I'm not talking about the Health Care Act. There's rules for everything except for the inner circle. Maybe I am talking about the Health Care Act. When communities have rules for everyone but those that make the rules, there may be a Canaanite curse. Number two, there's a higher than normal level of debt structure. It could be that New York State is under a Canaanite curse. We just tentatively passed a budget that will put us all in even greater debt. Number three, leaders in the organization have higher levels of perks. In other words, everybody gets this much, but if you're a leader, you get that much, and if you're the big leader, you get even more. What causes this curse to come to rest? Number one, denial. We refuse to acknowledge cause and effect sequences. Well, it's just a coincidence. Number two, an entitlement spirit. They deserve just because. I'm entitled to because I'm a citizen. I'm entitled to because I pay my taxes. I'm entitled. Yes, the United States may be under a Canaanite curse since we implemented welfare. It was something the church was supposed to do. The body of Christ was supposed to feed the hungry, house the homeless, clothe the naked, and take care of the poor. And we gave it over to the government. And now there are people in the system that are making $40,000 and $50,000 and $60,000 a year doing nothing because they're entitled to their benefits and their check. Number three, you or someone in your family line use their influence to induce others to do wrong. You or someone in your family line used your influence to set somebody up to do something wrong. Frequently, and especially this is in the area of moral impurity. that opens us up for a curse. If you remember the five iniquitous patterns that can bring a curse on the land, immorality is one of them. Number four, people use their popularity to validate evil or validate themselves when they are living in immorality. People will use their popularity to validate evil or validate themselves. In other words, it's my pet sin, don't touch it. When they are living in immorality. You see that rampant in our society, in our state capital, in our national capital, in Hollywood. What is the redemptive blessing that you get when you get set free from the curse? Number one, you are able to systematically develop the areas of greatest potential for your own life. In other words, you can put together A, B, C, and D. You systematically can develop those areas of potential in your own life when you get set free from this curse. Because you're not looking for someone else to affirm you. Number two, you are able to draw out the resources God has put within your assigned territory. You can draw out the resources that the Lord has put in your assigned territory so that you're able to develop the land and the community and its resources. There's great resources in this region. When we're free from that curse, we get creative ideas from heaven to develop those. The authority that one has when they're free from this curse, you'll see people who know that they are legitimate because of God's appointment. In other words, they don't have to wait for a person to say, you can do this. They know that they've been appointed by God. They know God has called them to a task regardless of the whole being opposed to them. In other words, they know God has called them to do something and everyone else says, no, you don't do that. Even if the person in authority over them says you don't do that, they know that God has called them to and they pursue the thing God has given them. Number two, you see people who are willing and able to stand alone against established sin in religious and civil establishments. You see people who are willing to stand against established sin in religious and civil establishments. In other words, you will be like John the Baptist. You could be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, that's wrong, you need to repent. Now there's a right way to do that, but you don't compromise the truth in doing it. Number three, you'll see individuals who are so secure in their God-given call and their personal legitimacy in Christ that they are able to say, this is wrong, even when the whole church is doing it. You'll see people that are so secure in who they are in Christ in their call that when they see something wrong, and believe me, there are whole bodies and networks and denominations that have picked up something that's keeping them from being pure and holy. That requires that you have a very intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Number four, you see leaders who are able to lead their followers into high-risk obedience without abuse. You see leaders who are able to lead their followers into high-risk obedience. This is what the Lord's asking us to do. But they don't abuse people in getting them to do that. Let's look at the fifth curse. The fifth devouring curse is the Midianite curse. We see this in Judges chapter 7, verses 4 through 23. The Midianite curse comes against the redemptive gift of giving. It wants to devour givers. Giving is my number one gift. I relate to what this thing does. The legitimacy lie associated with the Midianite curse is, I am legitimate when I can provide resources for others to possess their birthright. In other words, this curse structure tells a person or a region that when you can provide so that people can accomplish their birthright, then you're legitimate. Jehovah Jireh is our provider. In God alone we trust. But this is the whisper, this is the legitimacy lie that is associated with the Midianite curse. Personal manifestations of the curse. Number one, there will be a season of devouring. The pattern may vary. It could be every year, every other year, or every 10 years. But just like the Midianites came and devoured the harvest of Israel before the Israelites could glean their crops, this Midianite curse comes in cyclical patterns to devour what the Lord is putting into your hands. Number two, there's an inability to get ahead. You can't accumulate enough assets or wealth to be able to leverage the change that you are called to leverage. One of the minor prophets said that you put your earnings in your purse, your pocket, and it has holes in it. That would be a picture of the Midianite curse. Number three, financial devouring is followed by the devouring of relationships and or health. Financial devouring is followed by the devouring of relationships and or health. Times meant for families to be knit together, such as holidays and things like that, are just devoured by this Midianite curse because it doesn't want your health and your relationships to be strong. The community manifestations of the Midianite curse are exactly the same as the personal manifestations. There's a season of devouring. There's an inability for the community to get ahead, and financial devouring is always followed by the devouring of relationships or health in the community. When you hear of pockets of illness and disease, maybe the Lord's calling you to intercede against a Midianite curse coming over an area. Causes of the curse. When we or someone in our family line put personal comfort and security ahead of God's agenda. When either we or someone in our bloodline put personal security and comfort ahead of God's agenda. Ahead of fulfilling our call to be a faithful steward of what He's entrusted unto us. That will bring the Midianite curse. Number two, those who limit God's agenda to what they can do safely. In other words, this is my sandbox. I know I can do everything here, but God has told you to expand your sandbox, and you don't. We have limited God's agenda in the United States. this nation was supposed to feed the nations of the earth. We have so much beautiful, rich, productive land that we're not using. And if truth be told, you find out that it's being bought by the government to control who gets the food. But God. God's call and his agenda can't be limited so that we feel safe. Number three, you'll see this curse come when people refuse to do what God has called them to do. Did God call the Israelites to drive out the Midianites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and all of the ites? Yes. Did they? No. And so what did they come under? The curse of Midian. Number three, you can't refuse to do what God has called you to do. So what is the redemptive blessing of getting set free from this curse? Number one, you have freedom to accumulate resources from year to year and generation to generation so that there are enough assets to initiate change. You have the freedom to accumulate resources from year to year and generation to generation. Many of us like Proverbs 13 that says, "And the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous." Here I am, Lord. But we ignore the first half of that verse. It says, a righteous man, a righteous woman, a righteous person lays up an inheritance for their children's children. And the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. You'll see a freedom to accumulate wealth from generation to generation, and there will be enough assets so that you can initiate godly change. Number two, the time frame or the area the enemy has conspired to curse becomes the exact time that God originally intended the blessings to flow in. So the enemy tries to come in and put the curse at the exact time in an area or a person's life when God intended blessings to flow. If you've received prophecies that you consider valid, they agree with the Word of God, and they say that the Lord is going to do something, then it's your responsibility to steward that Word so that it comes to pass in the fullness of Father's time, and the curse cannot devour what He has spoken. The enemy wants to conspire to steal, kill, and destroy. Number three, in a church, after breakthrough of God comes in a mighty way within the time frame that was originally cursed. In other words, if there was a body of believers that the Lord said, "I'm going to do this," and they're moving toward that, and the Midianite curse comes, when that body of believers stands up and does the redeeming work of Jesus in the power of his blood and breaks that curse structure, then in that same cycle of time that God originally intended, we have to go back to our teachings on time, he brings the redemptive purpose back into place in the time frame that the enemy put under a curse. How do we find people who are walking in the authority of being outside of the Midianite curse? Number one, you'll find people who are willing to risk whatever it takes to possess their birthright. Do you know that you have a birthright? And it has nothing to do with being in the United States. That's part of it. Earlier today, at worship practice, we were talking about this little thing. Our base unit of currency. On the back is the Eye of Horus, a Freemason symbol. Means all money is defiled, but when you give 10%, God blesses everything, so he's even got a purpose for, before we even printed this, for redeeming it. But over here is a nice little Star of David. Because someone's redemptive purpose, a Jewish man during the Revolutionary War, a Philadelphia businessman, had a dream one night. And in that dream, the Lord showed him a nation called the United States of America that would be so powerful that they would once again reestablish Israel as a nation in the earth. And the Lord told him to support Washington's army. And so he did. This Philadelphia businessman sowed everything he had into the army to supply the colonial troops. At the end of the war, he asked one thing, that they would put the Star of David on the back of our base unit of currency. It's right there opposite the Eye of Horus. If you put what he gave into modern currency, he gave 1.7 billion U.S. dollars to Washington back during the Revolutionary War so that we would be independent and God could fulfill the dream he gave this man 200 years before Israel became a nation again. The man died broke and penniless, but he fulfilled his destiny. He was willing to risk whatever it took to possess his birthright. Number two, you'll find people who are wanting to possess their birthright so much that comfort and security are expendable. They know that they were created for this purpose, that they are willing to sacrifice personal comfort and security to see their birthright fulfilled. Number three, you find authority in those who are willing to be dependent upon God in the process of their birthright being fulfilled. In other words, it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Let's look at the sixth curse. If you remember last time I spoke, I said that I was investigating the roots of many churches in this region, including ours. They go back to this curse, the Jotham curse, found in the Judges chapter 9, the entire chapter, verses 1 through 57. This redemptive curse tries to devour the gift of ruling or leadership. The legitimacy lie is, I am legitimate when I have institutional power to build. In other words, as long as I've got enough with me, then I don't need God. Do you hear that lie? It's never worked through all history. It's not going to work today. Personal manifestations of the curse. Number one, betrayal. Division from within. Now I'm going to tell you the end of the story for this region. I'm not going to get into details. I can give them to you, but I won't record them. The betrayal that started all of this was broken 10 days ago. When the person who betrayed the person that was promised repented to the person that was promised. This all happened within the body of Christ. When that betrayal was broken and a blessing was imparted to the generation that had been betrayed, that broke the power of this thing to go forward. So now we've got a greater measure of spiritual authority. When all of that took place, some of you weren't even born. We weren't a congregation. Many of us didn't even live in New York State. Does that matter? No. The curse structure was still there, and God in His goodness and mercy is setting us free from it. Number two, families. They have a history of internal division. In every generation, at least two or three people are at war. In the family structure, there's internal division, and there's been a history of it. At least two or three people are at war. Can we relate to that? I can. I look at my family tree as far back as I know it. Number three, with military teams, there is a constant turmoil. There's division between two key leaders, somebody leaves, and there's a great deal of woundedness. So if you put it into military terms, and the body of Christ is an army, we are the army of God. There's continual turmoil. There's division. The enemy loves to divide the body of Christ because he knows the scripture better than we do. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And that causes a great deal of woundedness in the body. Community manifestations of the curse. Number one, businesses continually have people leave who are critical to their success. Businesses have people leave who are critical to their success. And when they leave, they take critical data, customers, or skills with them, and it's financially crippling to the business. Number two, we'll look at a manifestation in the church that I've already spoken about. You'll see the body of Christ continually having splits every 5 to 10 years, usually led by a person that was trusted in leadership. Before we knew much about spiritual warfare, when we lived in Tennessee, we saw this happen in two churches. The Lord even opened Casey's eyes to be able to see the battle in, so to speak, the rafters. It was a big open building, but you know, in the spirit realm, there's rafters. And just, she could see the two warring parties of demons just divide the congregation. And it divided and divided and divided from over 600 to less than 25 in 2 years. So what's the cause of the curse? Number one, someone in your family or your institutional line violated a covenant relationship. Remember that covenant breaking is one of the five iniquitous patterns that will defile the land. Someone in your family or institutional line violated a covenant relationship. A mother to a daughter, a father to a son, parents to children. Someone violated a covenant relationship. Second cause of this curse. Ingratitude. Scripture says we are to give thanks with a grateful heart. Ingratitude will bring the Jotham curse on an individual or an institution. Number three, a spirit of sedition, S-E-D-I-T-I-O-N, sedition, which is conduct or speech that incite people to rebel against authority. A spirit of sedition or lawlessness will bring about this curse. Isn't that what the whisperer did to Eve in the garden? Did God really say? Just enough to cause mankind not to trust and to rebel against God. So the redemptive blessing of getting set free from this curse, number one, we are able to have social structures that are synergistic in releasing life to the culture. In other words, structures can work together to have a greater impact in bringing life to the culture. Number two, we find institutions that are life-giving, covenant-keeping, and generational with their leadership. The blessing we have from being set free from the curse is we have institutions that are life-giving, covenant-keeping, and generational with their leadership. In other words, there's more than one generation in the leadership of that institution. What do we see with those who have authority over this curse? Number one, they stay in covenant with the land. They stay in covenant with the land through their assignment, regardless of fruitfulness or ministry or how unpleasant things become. They stay in covenant with their land no matter what's happening around them. In the late 1980s, a man in California, a pastor named Bob Beckett, wrote a book called Committed to Conquer. He got the authority. The Lord called him to this little place to run this little church, and it was in the middle, I think it was Helmut, middle of nowhere, Dust Bowl, probably one diner, you know, what you see in the movies. And he wondered why he wasn't getting breakthrough. God, you called me here. Why am I not getting breakthrough? Why are we not seeing increase? Why not? And the Lord told him, are you willing to die here? Well, sure. Okay, buy a burial plot. So when he and his wife bought a burial plot and stayed committed to the land, all of a sudden they got breakthrough. All of a sudden the things the Lord was showing them to do started to produce fruit and growth. His book is one of the books that are reference material now for doing spiritual cleansing of land. When you stay in covenant with the land, no matter what's happening around you, the Lord will honor that. Because God so loved the cosmos, John 3:16, his created everything, including us. He loves the land. Number two, you see authority in those that have an institution that is life-giving. You see authority when you have an institution that is life-giving. They pour out just like Jesus poured out. You see authority in individuals who are able to produce change without institution. In other words, they can take what the Lord's given them and bring change without having to create a structure for them to operate in. This was the curse structure that covered many churches that came out of a prayer meeting that came out of a church 7-8 generations ago to where we are now. And at the end of March, that curse structure was broken. I'm excited about what's going to happen at Passover, because it's all going to be under the blood, and we cross over into the new. The last curse is the Ammonite curse. The seventh devouring curse is the Ammonite curse. You find this in Judges chapter 11, verses 1 through 40, and Judges chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. The Ammonite curse tries to devour the gift of mercy. The legitimacy lie that's associated with the Ammonite curse is, I am legitimate when I have earned your favor. In other words, you can have some works righteousness. In other words, you can have some performance orientation. In other words, you can be counter to what God has said. You are legitimate because you're created in His image and likeness. Some personal manifestations of the Ammonite curse. Number one, boundaries are regularly challenged. Your inoffensive nature, it's not easy to offend you, is prone to being exploited under this curse structure because your boundaries are going to be regularly challenged. Remember, this is a year for boundaries. So make sure your boundaries are secure. Number two, their pursuit of excellence provokes a negative reaction to people around them. If everything you do to be excellent seems to upset people around you, you may be affected by an Ammonite curse. Number three, and I just got a revelation on this one, an extreme generosity that is inappropriate. When you see people that are extremely generous in inappropriate ways, they may be operating under an Ammonite curse because they're trying to earn your favor. Number four, you lose the capital that's necessary to make money. You lose the capital that's necessary to make money. Whether you call it seed money or you call it your nest egg, whatever it is, you lose the capital that's necessary to make money. Therefore, you are regulated to earning rather than making money. There's nothing the matter with earning, but Deuteronomy 8:18 says the Lord has given you the ability, the power to create wealth, to make wealth, so that He may establish and demonstrate His covenant with you. There's nothing the matter with earning, but if you always have the capital necessary to make money, to invest and to grow and to move toward your density, your destiny, then you may be affected by an Ammonite curse. Community manifestations of the Ammonite curse. There's a wholesale defense of individuals at the expense of the group. Individuals are expendable as long as the group can excel. I saw that all the time in the corporate world. In a business sense, number two, it is socially inappropriate to catch anybody doing wrong. In other words, it's impossible to call sin, sin. In a business sense, you can't tell anyone they're doing something wrong, even if it is sin. And a consequence of that, we find number three, mediocrity is the norm. Well, I did just enough to get by. It's good enough. There is no excellence. Those who desire to excel choose to leave. They have to leave because they're in an environment that keeps them from being who God created them to be. Mediocre companies do not exist for very long. Mediocre communities go under. Causes of the curse. Number one, not being able to receive God's valuation of you. In other words, here's what God says about you. So man's opinion versus God's decree becomes important to someone that's under the Ammonite curse. God says you're beautiful. God says you're part of His beloved. God says that you are the apple of His eye. But the nightly news doesn't. My teacher says I'm too dumb. Who are we going to believe? What the Lord says? Or what man's opinion is? A long time ago, I heard someone teaching, and in the middle of their teaching, they said, we all have opinions. Reputation is what man thinks you are. Character is who God knows you are. You have the character of Christ. The second cause of the curse is when individuals violate God's law or man's law so as not to offend other people. Jeff, that's what peer pressure is all about. Oh, everyone's doing it. What does God say? Number three, God is reduced to a formula involving sacrifice. In other words, you or someone in your family line tried to buy God's favor. There are many religions in the world, including some Christian denominations, that believe you can buy God's favor. Or the God they serve, you can buy His favor. If I do A and B, then God will perform. That's a formula. If I give up chocolate for Lent, then God will show up on Easter and give me a chocolate bunny. I can make fun of it, but it's along that line when we get serious that we put ourselves under this curse. Number four. In a community sense, people value the gifts of men rather than gifts of God. We have some great hospitals here, so why do you need to pray for me to get healed? Is that pretty clear? God gave the ability to heal. Jesus said that whoever believes in my name will do these things. They will cast out devils. They will heal the sick. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Nothing the matter with doctors and medicine. But why aren't we believing God? The redemptive blessing of being set free from this curse is you are able to supernaturally possess your God-given birthright. You're able to supernaturally possess your God-given birthright. In other words, God partners with you because you choose to do it His way. People who have authority by overcoming this curse, you'll see that they have overcome a stigma. and they refuse to walk in society's opinion of them. Well, that's only Al. I'm a child of God. I make mistakes, but I'm His child. Society may think I'm strange. Thank you very much. You agreed with the Bible. He says I'm peculiar. In other words, to quote Pastor Lisa, you need to be thick-skinned and tender-hearted. Overcome the stigma and refuse to walk in society's opinion of you. Number two, you see authority over this curse with people who walk in such a level of holiness that their very life is a rebuke to their culture. That's what the battle is in the United States now, folks. The whole war is about whether you are going to be righteous or you're going to be in compromise with the way of death, hell, and the grave. So much so that this past week we changed 2 centuries of good, biblically based law. Because the two parties that are called the United States Senate couldn't agree. Not saying that their life was a rebuke to the culture, but it was all about death. It was all about abortion. It was all about no God worship. I'm just remembering a psalm right now that says, God laughs at his enemies in derision. I can imagine the laughter that's taking place in heaven. It's not over. The third thing that you find people who are able to walk in authority over this Ammonite curse structure is they are able to forgive themselves. Many people never get free. They forgive everybody else, but they don't forgive themselves. They're hardest on themselves. And they never get set free from this curse structure. These 7 curses try to steal, kill, and destroy the nature, the DNA of God, and every created person. Born again or not, we are all made in His image and likeness. We were all descendants of Adam through Noah. And the enemy wants to keep you, your bloodline, and your communities from fulfilling the call and the destiny that Father has for your life. To understand these, you really need to listen to Arthur's teaching on each one, because each one takes over an hour to get into detail and explain. You begin to see how they operate if you go back and read those scriptures that are assigned with it. My purpose in sharing this with you is to give you an ability to see. Now that you know, you can go back to your spiritual gift surveys and you can see where those 7 redemptive gifts are, because you all have at least 1 or 2 of them. And you can see which curse structures may have been working against you. You can see how the enemies tried to keep you from becoming all that Father has in store for you. Father, I thank you that you give us revelation in the knowledge of Christ so that we can apply the victory of the blood of the Lamb to our lives. I thank you that you show us, Lord, the strategies of heaven that outwit the strategies of the devil. And Lord, that you show us how to walk wise with an understanding of the victory of Jesus Christ in our lives. I thank you, Father. that you have shown us and exposed curse structures that have tried to keep us from the fullness of who you've created us to be. Lord, give us wisdom in how we apply this knowledge and understanding to our lives so that we walk in the fullness of the applied victory of Jesus Christ. Amen.